Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and this program is dedicated to exploring evolving human potentials in an evolving world. The series explores the ideas of how to become more conscious beings, and I present programs that invite the listener to look at their automatic behaviors and take free rein of their body, mind, and spirit so that we all can hope to inhabit a better planet, a better world. This program is constantly on the lookout for new and different perspectives in achieving a greater and more peaceful reality for the planet. It is about embracing a synthesis of rational understanding with mystical awareness. Thank you for tuning in tonight to this new edition of New Realities on BBSRadio.com. I've been hosting the series now for about, I would say, almost 8 weeks, about six, seven, 8 weeks. And you can listen to the archives at BBSRadio.com. Click on New Realities, and you can listen to some of the past shows with Dr. J.J. Hertog talking about the release of new UFO information, human sexuality with Patty Taylor and Charles Muir was a show. I've had lots of interesting shows. Philip Gruber talking about the esoteric meaning of The Wizard of Oz. And tonight's show is going to be a whole different flavor. We're talking tonight, I'm going to be talking to one of my guests, is Paula Gloria, who's the star of YouTube. And she's going to be talking about spirituality and the new media, and that will be coming up in about 5 minutes. My second guest, about 10 minutes after the hour, will be giving us a healing meditation and how to relax during the daily stresses of the day. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and I've been doing a form of this show on cable television. You can go to newrealities.tv and look at a list of over 300 guests, people like Ram Dass and Deepak Chopra, Jay-Z Knight, many people in the body, mind, health field. And it started as a way of promoting different events that I do in New York. There's some events coming up this week, one with John DeMartini on May 31st is going to be a great evening in Manhattan with John DeMartini. You can call 212-473-6388 for more information. Also coming up in June, there is going to be a UFO conference at the Pioneer Theater to celebrate 60 years of contact with the beginning in 1947 with the Roswell crash and in the Kenneth Arnold sightings, where he coined the word flying saucer. So basically, it's this whole program, and I'll quote Aldous Huxley, that says, "Our business is to wake up. We have to find the way in which to detect the whole of reality in its illusionary part." And that is the sense that we are seeking to find the essence of what this reality is about and go beyond the mundane, beyond the surface, to talk about the deep hidden spiritual traditions which we are now touching in many places. There's also another quote I like to cite by Lewis Mumford, who started the Esalen Institute, and he says, "We stand on the brink of a new age, an age of an open world. It is a time of renewal when the fresh energies of spiritual upliftment can be unleashed so new possibilities can arise. History teaches us that new realities emerge when paradigms shift." So, leading into my first guest, we are in the midst of a paradigm shift, a way of looking at the world that we have not experienced before with new media. Even this radio program is a new form of media that's like the old form of radio mixed with the modern technologies of computer and also telephone. It's like everything's coming together to give us a new way of communicating with each other, and we're even evolving that. I mean, at some point, I think television is going to be obsolete, and there'll just be these ongoing series on things like YouTube. And we'll be talking to one of the stars of YouTube. Oh, I think she's on the line now. This is Paula Gloria. Paula,
Hi, Alan.
Hi. I was just kind of giving an introduction about the ways consciousness and spirituality are using the new media to kind of take hold of the world. I mean, how do you see spirituality and the new media really being focused now?
Well, you know, I think spirituality and consciousness has always been there. I like to think of the internet as the air element, because, as you know, I'm interested in the Divine Mother and the five elements.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like our cable TV shows, because I've had a cable TV show thanks to you for many years.
Right. Tell us the name of your show.
It's Farther Down the Rabbit Hole.
Right.
And it's on every day in Manhattan on Channel 34.
Mm-hmm.
And so I say that that's cable TV is going through the earth. And I know the feeling I get when I've got my audience watching every day.
What do you, so you say,
and it's different from my YouTube posts.
Wait, what's air and what's earth?
The air is the internet.
And the earth is the cable show.
Yeah.
Now, how does that even mean anything to anybody? I mean, can you just go over the five elements a little bit and see how we can connect our media into it?
Well, that there's not a difference between consciousness and matter, and that it's all just a play of elements.
Mm-hmm.
Earth, air, fire, water, ether, and that there's not some big judge up in the sky with his laptop,
mm-hmm.
but that it's just play of the elements. That's why the Buddhists don't believe in God. Mm-hmm. It's not some ultimate authority passing judgment.
So this new media is a kind of new play of the elements in a new form. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah. Exactly.
So when you have Earth as the cable television and air as the internet, then what would be the water and the fire and the ether? I mean, I would think something like psychic activity is sort of the ether, kind of a psychic sense of each other. Wouldn't you say?
Maybe, yeah. I was just pulling out, you know, how when I feel my audience on the internet, on YouTube, it's a different feeling than my audience on the cable.
Do you feel your audience here on this radio show?
Well, last week I did a show for you, or a couple of weeks
ago. I know.
And I didn't get any call-ins, so it's hard for me to say.
But can't you just feel them? Can't you just feel them listening to every word? No.
Well, yeah, it's the air element. It's going out over the internet.
It's going out over the internet. But anyway, no, let's get back to the really how spirituality is kind of taking a new form, as it seems like things are accelerating. It's like the whole idea behind 2012 was what Terence McKenna said, that all of time would be compressed into a single, like, day. It seems like as you look on YouTube, everything that has ever been broadcast seems to be available in the last, 60 years of broadcast media. It seems all right there at our fingertips. Isn't it phenomenal how it's like a recapitulation of the last 60 years?
I mean, well, the potential's there, but I mean, there's also 300 videos that were taken down off a 9/11 site, so I think that's something to be aware of, is some part in us that's incomplete.
I mean, that's being censored.
Yeah, because they're, you know.
But
that's
mean,
kind of a play we all responsible, you know.
What do you mean?
I don't believe that there's a victim and a tyrant, that it's a play.
Uh-huh.
It's just a play. And so if somebody had a site with 300 videos up with some provocative material, and then some CIA or whatever, or Homeland Security takes it down, well, this is still our creation, too.
Hmm.
And we do it for a reason.
But isn't the Divine Mother about transformation and destruction and all that? Isn't Kali an aspect of that?
You mean the 300 videos are up and then they're down?
Well, I don't know. You're saying it's the Divine Mother at play, so where does, like, the aspects of the Divine Mother come into play? Or did I just make too much of a stretch for you and our audience?
No, not at all.
No, so tell me, how does that fit into this whole idea? I mean,
well, there's different ways to look at it. Some could say that the status quo doesn't want to see provocative videos that say that the way we were told on corporate media how the buildings came down, you know, in other words, the mass consciousness doesn't want it. So if they're looking at things that are going to destroy their social consensus or social agreement. But I always feel that spirituality is all about that.
What?
You make a connection with the divine, and social mediocrity is not so important anymore. You're not finding your identification through through your image, so you can handle more more out of the envelope concepts.
Wait, so but YouTube, let's say, isn't it taking it all to another level of like almost, it's almost etheric in a sense. It's way beyond any image. It's kind of becoming a sort of free-for-all of evolving consciousness. It's almost as if, like, you can't even tell which video is yours anymore. As people use your video, it's a whole loss of ego. You know, so as people use clips from, let's say, your television show and incorporate into their YouTube clipping, then you incorporate that, it's a whole mixing of collective consciousness. Isn't that interesting?
I'm not exactly sure what
I'm saying. So loss of the, I mean, you would do a television show, but someone also has taken clips of your television show, incorporated into their...
You mean when Howard Stern was pranking me?
Yeah, but you've taken that and now amplified and other people have taken that. It seems like there's
right.
a loss of the individual identity. It's become a meshing of identities into a new form almost.
Yeah.
Like, you can no longer say this is your show that Howard Stern was, you know, making fun of. He was like, now, because you're...
Right, it's
you're,
a new thing.
Because you're going back and commenting on his comments about you.
Right, right, right.
So where do you begin and he ends?
No, that's true. I mean, on my YouTube, I always pride myself that I don't take down any comment, even if it's negative or... And what I find is using the principles of Marshall Rosenberg, nonviolent communication...
Uh-huh.
To try to create connections of empathy. And what I find is that somebody leaves a comment, I answer, they answer, you go back and forth, and then you can have this sort of running dialogue, and then other people get involved too, that becomes as rich as the original video. So I think the text commentary is also important.
The text commentary is on
and
YouTube.
And that's what the search engines can find. They can't really look into the videos. So the content of something is can be very determined by the comments that people make. So sometimes I spend a couple hours a day just going through with the comments.
How many videos do you have up now on YouTube?
I have 212.
Under Paula Gloria.
Yeah, youtube.com/Paula Gloria.
And they originally started as a mixing of politics and spirituality, right?
Yeah, I was getting into 9/11 truth because I saw this video and I thought, oh my God, you know.
I think 9/11 truth is actually all over BBS radio. I think they're into that as well. I think there's a whole section on this particular
internet. Supposedly 80% of the population doesn't believe the official version.
Really?
You know.
How come I believe it? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, no,
do I believe it?
I ask myself.
No, of course not. I don't. I still am a little old-fashioned, though. I have to say that I could swear I saw videos where planes hit the building.
Oh, you did. It's just that if you look very carefully at them, they were faked.
What was faked?
The airplanes going into the building.
No, people heard. I know people have heard airplanes flying over
head. This is what's so fascinating is mass hysteria. It's really phenomenal.
No, but people, even before the building.
And remember what was happening right after? All the anthrax scare?
Yeah, what was that about?
That all of a sudden meant that it becomes very intimate to everyone. It's in your mailbox. It's something you could touch.
Wait, so what was that about, you're saying?
What was about going into Afghanistan?
Wait, the anthrax was going about going into Afghanistan?
To have the population be so hysterical and distracted that they wouldn't even notice going into Afghanistan.
Is that why they did that?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, think about it. Does it make any sense that the attacks on 9/11?
Well, it makes more sense going into Afghanistan than it does going into Iraq. I mean, at least that's where Bin Laden, the guy with the computer in the cave, was.
Well, that's why the mass hysteria, because it doesn't make any sense with a guy in a laptop. And you've got so many Bin Ladens, the thin one, the fat one, the one that said he did it.
Look, I know what Bin Laden looks like if I had a chance to pick him. No, I mean, there's one Bin Laden, but who knows if he was even responsible for it.
But, you know, sometimes he says he did it and sometimes he didn't. So based on this one guy that can't make up his mind, you're going to terrorize the whole country?
I never heard him say he didn't do it.
Well, there's clips that he said he didn't do it.
Which Bin Laden are you talking about? No, but let's get back to our original idea for the show, which was
I mean,
really
there's
talking
a lot
about
of suffering in Afghanistan. The factory that's the most prosperous is the one that makes prosthetic body
in lines. Afghanistan?
Yeah, because of the landmines. And you see these beautiful...
But the landmines were from the Russians when they were there, weren't they?
Yeah, but there's an argument that the Russians were invited in because we were there trying to take over stuff for a long time.
Well, isn't there a whole opium, heroin
thing? That's another sad thing. Now, there's
but the Taliban was actually, shutting that down.
So they say.
But what were you going to say? There's a whole other thing about...
Well, that's where I think spirituality and the study becomes important, so you can understand herbs and medicines as gifts of the Divine Mother to be used judiciously, not something that fuels along a shadow economy.
Mm-hmm. But let me ask you, where do you think all the new media is going as far as our spiritual evolution? That's what I'm really interested in.
Well, I think the Internet's the future.
Yeah, but how does that uplift people spiritually? I mean, how do you see that connected into some
other
aspect?
Don't you think there's a skill involved? Just like we were talking about drugs, the Internet can become a drug, too.
Mm-hmm.
You get addicted. I'm even figuring out how to get away from YouTube and just create a more intimate site of my own.
Well, I know, and I think that's a great thing. But how do you think, or let me take a stab at that same question, in the sense that consciousness and this accelerated communication mediums somehow seem to be going together. As more people have access to more information, it seems to stimulate more thought, and at least more creative action.
Yes, I think that's so, but I also think it also intensifies the trend towards mediocrity.
What do you mean by that?
If you look at YouTube lately, there's a lot of the people that were in the original YouTube community
mm-hmm.
can straight away pick up when corporations try to fake it and pretend to be funky and made at home. People love this.
Oh, you mean people love like stupid things like Lonely Girl? And then
I don't think Lonely Girl is real.
You don't think Lonely Girl is
real? No.
So you think she was a medium.
But there is stuff that is real, and you can feel it. It's like transparency.
Oh, like the article in the Times today talked about that, right? There's a whole article on YouTube.
Like I put my phone number out, and, I'm available.
Mm-hmm.
I just, I don't know. It's kind of like casting your consciousness upon the sea of the Internet and hooking your divine connection, not being distracted by all these infinite possibilities, but knowing your way.
Mm.
And then it's easy to be transparent, and then it's easy to make a sincere connection with other people, and they respond. They respond from all over the world.
So
I
think you did touch upon the essence of what I was really trying to get at, is that things like YouTube bring communication back down to the real people, as opposed to incorporating into a kind of artificial plastic loss.
Yes, if the real people are up to stepping up to the challenge and being real, not trying to be a fake person.
Right, no,
hide under a fake identity.
No, I think it gives the opportunity for that to happen, at least, for real people to talk about real issues away from any corporate-sponsored media.
Yeah, I think on your next shows, you should have a video that's going on with your radio show.
What do you mean, the videos?
Well, when you do your radio shows, mm-hmm. then if people want to see your East Village apartment, which is just an eyeful, it's an incredible...
an eyesore.
See this East Village in New York where all of the art and a lot of the new movements have started.
Oh, so I can
and
do
you've been here for 25 years. It's
okay,
you
don't have to tell everybody.
Thing.
But
that's a great thing.
No, so you're saying if we had like a T1 line, people can actually listen and watch at the same time.
Yeah, I don't even think you need a T1 line. But
well,
saying is all we need is a camera, and then we could post it on YouTube after so they could actually see the conversation that they heard.
See the conversation that they heard and hear it again.
Yeah.
And see it again.
See it
and
again.
See the visual. And what would be the benefit of that?
It's my experience. I get a feeling for what people want to know. They want to know something they haven't seen before. And they've seen, and they've been just so inundated and overfed with corporate spin. So whenever they have a chance to see something real and authentic, they just leap on it.
Well, I think authenticness is the spirit that is the internet and YouTube is giving back to the people if they choose to drop into what it is to be authentic.
Like before you said, oh, don't tell people I've been here for 25 years because you're in a rent control apartment. But that's a great thing. No, that's a wonderful thing that should be promoted. People should know if it wasn't for rent control, you wouldn't have the artists in Manhattan.
Well,
otherwise, this place, Manhattan's going to become another, casino city.
Right.
No, not even Upper East Side, just a casino city, a tourist town. When my brother came to New York and he stayed in a nice hotel, I was so excited to show him one of my public access shows with him that I'd done about cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, that fancy hotel didn't carry public access.
They didn't carry public access?
No, because they carry the kind of schmaltzy stuff that they think that tourists want to see. And I don't I think that's a travesty. People come to New York.
Well, that's the other part about authenticity and real people is that public access television gives the real people a chance to bring up the real issues, not
well, that's why it needs us pioneers in public access to now move over to the internet. So for example, someone could come to New York,
mm-hmm.
take all the tours the tourists take,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
for $35 you sit on top of the bus and stuff. But somebody sitting wherever they are can see Alan Steinfeld's apartment in the East Village, and
mm-hmm.
they will have hit New York more than the tourists in those fake hotels.
Well, they don't even have to come to New York, then.
They don't even have to come to New York.
Yeah, why even bother leaving home?
Yeah.
Okay.
But that depends on the producers.
No, so
the
advantage
of the technology.
No, but I think the major point, though, one of the major points that I did want to bring out in this conversation is that the spiritual significance of things like the internet is giving the airwaves back to the real people so people can evolve a real authentic understanding of what it is to be themselves.
Is there a number where people can call now? Because I think it's partly the producers and it's partly the viewers.
I think, let's see, there does seem to be a number that people can call in. It's from the website, it's 877-270-8714 if you're listening in the U.S. If you're listening to this radio program in the U.S., and I think Michelle is there taking calls, and you can forward the calls.
Why did you say that number again? Because they weren't expecting.
Okay, because we do want to talk about the understanding of spirituality and this new wave of communication. So if you have any comments and questions about that, call 877.
That's 877.
270-8714.
8714.
In the U.S. only. If you are. And
I think in Canada there was another number.
There is another number in Canada. It's 888. 861-3519. But if you're listening and you're on the internet, which you probably are, if you go to bbsradio.com and then scroll down, you'll see call and speak live with our hosts on BBS Radio. If you scroll down, live, and to the right there it says BBS Late Night Only. This is part of the late night shows. And those are the numbers, the 877-270-8714 for the U.S. We'd love to hear your comments and questions. And then toll-free, and they're both toll-free in Canada, 888-861-3519. Michelle, if anyone's calling through, you can put them right through.
Great. It'd be great to hear from a viewer, because that's where I think the new media is all about, is the interactivity. Buckminster Fuller was on Harold Channer when cable first came in 1974, and I looked at it. It's such a classic of Harold's. And one of the first things, Buckminster Fuller, and he was really excited that cable meant that, you know, just regular people could make TV shows, but he was asking with just childlike eagerness. And he goes, and the viewers, can they interact? And I think, Harold didn't seem so excited about that when I pointed it out to him, but I said, what a visionary Buckminster Fuller was, because he saw the future.
Huh. Well, what did Buckminster Fuller say? That
interactivity. It's that autodidactic that people teach themselves.
Huh.
Now that college educations are getting so outrageously expensive, I think a lot of people are realizing, you know, why pay all this money and not be assured of a job, or, you know, it's not all that it was cracked up to be. But meanwhile, if the internet is used skillfully, you can get an incredible education.
Right.
And it fits in just like the elements and Ayurvedic medicine and Chinese medicine. It's all about being in balance with the environment.
Well, I think that is the benefit of this age, is that we have access to information that's no longer homogenized and pasteurized. It's unlimited if you know where to look. I mean, so people
right.
can actually learn the great mysteries that we, me and you, Paul, have been around the world searching for. They can actually just learn that right on the internet, you know. It's available to them. And then the interactive part, yes, that is a major understanding, because now there's a whole generation of children growing up that are not hypnotized by television but are already learning a skill of interaction. And I think that's going to create major advancements as these.
And you're going to have a different kind of producer, you know, a producer who's really listening to the viewer.
Uh-huh.
Because I've learned so much from my viewers.
Really? Like what?
Oh, I one guy from Finland called to my attention a drill that they were going to be having, because when 9/11 went on, there were like 25 drills happening, uh-huh. and I thought, how amazing, you know, to get this information from someone in Finland who was watching this.
Yeah, that's the other, I think, amazing thing. So, I mean, I should definitely write down these highlights that you're bringing out, because the smallness of the planet is also sort of pressure cooking us to
yeah,
a new level of spirituality.
And then it makes
you know?
It takes you to a new level of responsibility, because you go, somebody in Finland is very concerned that there's not another 9/11 because of, you know, America gets so hyper-reactive, you know, and then launches out so viciously. So they're very concerned, and it just makes you, it's a very humbling and sobering experience to realize your power.
Right. So, I mean, just to review these points, I think that some of, because this is really the conversation that I really wanted to kind of delve into and bring up the questions, that the kind of spiritual potential of the internet and YouTube and things is that it brings out more authentic questions from more authentic people.
Well, the potential is there.
And then there's the...
People have to have the intention.
The availability of greater knowledge, more hidden knowledge is another available. The interactivity of like host and speaker, that sort of starts to dissolve as, you know, more and more people interact with public access and radio shows like this. And then
right.
the smallness of the planet, the global village, as Marshall McLuhan coined that phrase. He also saw the future. Marshall McLuhan, Buckminster Fellow, he said there's going to be a global village. He predicted the YouTube. He predicted things like YouTube. Everyone in the future will have their own television station, is something he saw coming. He didn't know how that would happen, but he saw it coming. So, I mean, these were the great prophets of the 60s that were able to see the future. I mean, what do you see now? So here we are in this amazing revolution, this amazing technological advance. So what do you see in 20 years from now?
20 years?
Well, 20 years. We are accelerating. No one would have... YouTube began in February 2005. It was sold, a couple of months ago for $1.6 billion in less than 2 years, about 2 years. They went from zero to one point. Not that that only matches the value that it, you know, that monetary amount that it was sold for matches somehow the value that it represents to the culture at large.
Right.
So what do you see now that's possible in 20 years? I mean,
I see a hope that people will tune into what magnificent spiritual beings they are and how powerful they are.
How will they
step to the plate?
But how does the internet affect that?
Well, it's only a potential. It's like when I got these pyramids from Fred Bell, I had to, you know, you've been...
You know, Fred Bell is actually on BBS Radio.
Oh, really?
Yes, he has his own show.
I should call him up on the show.
You should definitely call him up. Definitely. I'll find out when he's on. If you go to, like, the archives...
Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah. But what are you saying? When you got these pyramids...
The pyramid doesn't make anything happen. It just creates an environment that if your intention is in that environment, it will intensify it. So the same thing I feel is true for the Internet.
But, you know, here we are. No one. So I was saying
I know,
no one could
have calling in, so I'm sad.
You're sad no one's calling in?
Yeah.
Well, let me put the number. 877-270-8714. If you're listening anywhere in the U.S., just give us a call and let us know that you're listening. And I'm sure you have something to comment about what we're saying, because this is about interactive Internet radio and seeing that we're all a part of a bigger picture, all like little pieces that contribute to a kind of global knowledge. But I'm just curious for you, Paula, you know, I'm saying like we were into computers like 7 years ago. No one really saw YouTube coming, but it filled a void that seemed to be happening, because you yourself said, look, we're shooting all these videos. What are we going to do with them? Remember
right.
that, Paula?
Right, right.
So now there's a place to put all these videos. So
right, because human beings have a need to contribute. So
right,
they shot this stuff, but until
they have a need to contribute. But your very question, do you see that your very question contributed? You were saying 5 years ago, we were shooting all these videos. What are we going to do with them?
Mm-hmm.
You see, if we could have turned that around and said, we're shooting all these videos, let's create something to do something with them, we would have been
right.
ahead of the game and could have made the $1.6 billion for YouTube or something. Because we had access to the technology. My brother, you know, could have created that. It would have been great for him.
No, you needed an intense amount of bandwidth.
No, but
I don't believe that story that those young guys did it.
You don't believe that? Why not?
No.
They had a great
because
idea.
Because it's a way to consolidate power and information.
No, why don't you believe it? You can't be conspiracy.
No, hang on, Alan.
No,
how much would it cost to house all those videos? It's staggering.
Well, maybe not. They're so compressed, you know. I'm sure they started out small, but as they grew. Who do you think is behind it then? Because, I mean,
oh,
they
ultimately the Divine Mother. It's all a play.
No, no, but you're saying the Divine Mother did not provide the bandwidth. I mean,
of
who do you think?
Of course he does.
No, stop it, Paula. Who do you think, if those two young kids didn't create YouTube, who do you think did?
You mean you want to get into this kind of a discussion?
Well,
that's
you're
not
saying
a spiritual discussion. You know,
well,
who controls the money, the Federal Reserve, the IRS,
yeah,
all
but
that?
Then why would they have been?
You want to go there?
We could go there, but it doesn't seem like there's an end to that conversation.
Right, exactly. That's what Webster said. You go into a desert.
No, it's not a desert. But I'm curious. So the questions that we asked 5 years ago created something like YouTube. What questions are we asking now that will create the next level of
media? Well, see,
media?
The thing was, is 5 years ago, you know, corporate media controls what you're presented will determine what you're going to think about something. So if you have a very limited presentation, your resulting concepts are going to be limited. So what's so phenomenal about the YouTube and the Internet right now is that the playing field is level. It's content-driven. But like if you're shy to show your apartment, then the potential doesn't get used. For example, you see what I'm saying?
No.
So people still have to take a risk. The tools are there, but they've got to use the tools.
To reveal more of themselves.
Yeah, because that's the only thing that we have against the corporate-driven media that's going to work on hype and spin and image and people comparing themselves to the beautiful models.
But corporate media can't even compete with YouTube now because 100 million videos a day are downloaded. Much bigger audience than any corporate media. I mean, there's hope, I'm saying.
I personally think YouTube is sold out and that a lot of the stuff on there has those hits because they launch them, they control the search engines, they tweak things a little bit.
I'm not as paranoid as you.
It's not paranoia at all. I'm just saying if no corporation could duplicate your apartment.
Right.
And a viewer will know that.
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm saying.
So what will that get?
If a lonely girl or whatever, you don't see much of her bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you could pan around this place and no set director could put this together. You know?
I think that's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a great thing.
Mm.
And
so,
again, it gets down.
But let me ask you, though, where are you going spiritually? What's your next move, and how does that connect to the kind of television that you're doing and putting out on YouTube?
Well, what you were saying about paranoia and the politics and stuff, I do not have that. I absolutely feel that when I connect with my divinity beyond social mediocrity, then I'm not susceptible to a lot of the paranoias that people feel. Oh, my God, if you talk about 9/11, an inside job, they're going to do you in. They did in JFK. They did in Martin
Luther
King.
No, I think too many people are talking about it.
Whereas when you look at JFK or Martin Luther King, you can actually see that the allure of the power starts to take away that constructive type of humility that, granted, is a privilege of a quieter lifestyle. And when people are pushed into the limelight, it's so much easier to lose your balance. And when you lose your balance, that's when you have those assassinations and things like that come in.
Well,
so there's a science to it. There's an art to it. That's why it's the great work.
Mm.
And you'll find that the great masters, many of them, are not in the limelight. They're working very quietly behind the scenes. And for those who long for the real knowledge, it matters not whether they're taken into the limelight or not, but they sense when they're moving towards their soul purpose. And that's something that is the greatest protection of all.
Mm.
And then, of course, you have to get into what protection is and what your life is, because if you're going to live your whole life being afraid, then you're never going to have a chance to give a crack at whatever your soul purpose was,
because
you were afraid to move out. And then you're dead already.
Mm.
You've been assassinated right from the beginning.
So you're telling people, go for what they believe in.
Yeah.
Go
yeah.
for their joy. Go for their power.
Yeah, and then stay balanced. Watch the sunrise and do spiritual practice.
Mm.
And then you'll feel when it's right. You'll also feel when you're running away. That gets boring, right? And those kind of people are not fun to be around.
Mm.
And that's not real protection, because you're just a wimp.
So the real protection is doing your passion, doing your life's passion.
Yeah.
And for you, it's communication and television.
Right.
And that's great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good. But the other thing I want to say is also to quote the whole idea of conspiracies. As Marshall McLuhan said, that to really deceive the people, you have to hide the secret in public.
Yeah.
That's where the secrets are held, with in public incongruity, incredulousness.
Right.
It has to be considered incredulous publicly. So that gets us into a whole other realm that hopefully we'll pick up on future shows.
Great. It's been nice talking to you.
So just give us a little background how to find you on YouTube and where you are and your email.
YouTube.com/PaulaGloria. And you can reach me at rabbitholecentral@earthlink.net.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope to be launching my own channel called rabbitholecentral.tv.
And then when are you on television?
Or farther down the rabbithole.com.
And your television show?
Every day, Monday through Friday in Manhattan, Channel 34 at 11:30 a.m. until 12. And then I'll go live on the Internet at 12 o'clock so I can take callers. Because I can't take calls anymore on my daily show.
Oh, right.
Which I miss so much.
And the type of programs you do are combining politics and spirituality.
Yeah.
And that is really what your specialty is.
Yeah. The Divine Mother, the Five Elements.
The Divine Mother,
manifestation, all about manifestation.
Manifestation as it plays out in a kind of political...
Well, you know, politics is the study of power, and the Divine Mother in Shakti is about power. So I don't think anybody who's into manifestation as a spiritual practice can really avoid politics.
Mm.
You know, I think it's inevitable. And like Plato said, the leaders, we think of a politician as a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
But a real leader is one that leads because he sees that the job needs to be done and there's nobody else doing it.
Right, a real public servant.
So politics is a beautiful study.
Thank you, Paula Gloria.
Thank you, Alan.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon in upcoming shows.
Great, bye.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
That was Paula Gloria from farther down the rabbit hole. My next guest is Arena. Are you on the line? Hello? Michelle, my next guest is a specialist in healing meditation, and is going to take us through a series of steps to understand and tap into deeper parts of ourselves, kind of bringing in online everything that we're talking about in this conversation and how to go deeper into these hidden parts of ourselves. So I'll just... are we getting through to the guest at BBS? Hello?
Hello?
Raina?
Yes, hi.
Welcome to New Realities.
Thank you. Thank you for having me this evening.
I know. You wanted to be a guest on the show. You came. I appreciate your enthusiasm.
Well, I thought it'd be a nice way to send over relaxation to everyone who's listening.
Yes, and I think, you know, you do have a really great gift, because even in a busy club where I met you, when you started to tell me what you were doing, and I started to feel like the healing energies that you put out there, I think it's very powerful that you want to send out this healing meditation to people just by using your voice. But just tell me a little background about how you got into it and what your intention is. I mean, not without going into all the details, but sort of how you got into the idea that you wanted to do this kind of work.
Oh, sure. Well, I was helping a couple of relatives who came down with cancer, actually, in the same year. And one of the things that we came across was doing some imagery work during a radiation treatment, that, you know, focusing on an image like the hot summer sun that's healing your body from your top of your head down to your feet while you're going through radiation can be very healing. And all of a sudden, other women started to join in during their...
But how did you even know how to do that? Was that something you tapped into intuitively?
Yeah, it just kind of naturally, you know, I think when you love people, you kind of tap into whatever you can. So that's what seemed to kind of come, I think.
Open to this idea of spirituality.
I was always open to spirituality before.
And how did that come about, that kind of opening to that spiritual awareness? I mean, what was your experience that happened to open you up?
Well, I don't know if it was a big openness. I think it was just, you know, I think when I was a kid, I was drawing, you know, vans with rainbows on them. So I think it was something that I had hoped to kind of help the world out in some way
since I was younger. You came in with that knowledge, you're saying, in a sense. You came in with awareness.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I also had I've had a computer company for quite a few years as well, but I think... when you see people who are sick, you kind of tap into any kind of healing powers you have or any kind of imagery, and that seemed to work in that moment.
Did they recover?
I can't say that that was the only, I think that was part of people's healing process. And that group of women also were going through radiation treatments too, but I do think it gave them something to focus on while they were going through their treatments, and something positive, and something that they had, you know, to realize that you have your own power, your own healing powers, I think is very important.
Right. So you gave people a sense that they were connected also to a deeper source of themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I think that's the power. I think that's sort of what you were saying you came in with. You already came in with that awareness.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe this work is just a kind of outgrowth of an awareness you already have. Because I think when we connect to that source, that's the source of healing, because that's the source of ourselves.
Yes.
So you're going to give us a little healing meditation tonight.
What I take you through something that seemed to help... some women who are going through breast cancer, but this is actually something that I practice pretty much on a daily basis. So I welcome people to get comfortable, whether it's in their chair or you know, under a nice cover. And what I'll walk you through is just a body relaxation. So we'll start with diaphragmatic.
Wait, before you do that, just say who you are and maybe how people can get in touch with you, because this might take us into the end of the show. So before you start.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know how to pronounce your last name.
Oh, okay. So my name is Rena Chudnovsky. And people are welcome to feel free to call me if they have any questions or would like to learn different ways to practice this on their own, if I can help out. And my number is 617-738-0990. And what I'm going to do is start off with just some basic diaphragmatic breathing, focusing on your in-breath and out-breath. And then we'll take
you
through
the body. Thank you very much, Raina, for being a part of the show, too. So, okay, I'm getting comfortable myself, so, okay.
Oh, good, good, okay. So, and then what I'll do is I'm going to walk you through a body relaxation, and sometimes it's helpful to focus, you know, on our toes. If we're such a head-focused society, if I ask you to kind of relax your head and your mind, that can be difficult for some of us. So then we'll focus on our toes, and then I'll work ourselves all the way up to our heads. And then we'll just send a wave of relaxation. So, you know, perhaps you can take a moment right now and, you know, from 1 to 10, just feel your body, you know, get into your body, you know, 1 being you're fully relaxed, you know, no muscle tension, your heart rate is slow, and 10 being that you're really feeling a high level of stress right now, your shoulders have some tension, lower back, or maybe some cramping, and rate that, and then after the relaxation, you can just see for yourself if you've felt some changes in your own body. So let's just begin by, you know, creating a space, you know, again, where we can focus on ourselves. This is a real mini vacation for you from your day, from the busyness of our days in the society. And just allow your body to become as comfortable as you can in your chair or in your bed. And so that your hands are relaxed on your lap, and close your eyes. And when you're ready, begin by taking an in-breath and exhaling slowly on your out-breath. And another deeper in-breath and an even longer exhale on your out-breath. And noticing that on your in-breath, relaxation is entering your body. And on your out-breath, just releasing any tension or stress. So on your in-breath, relaxing. And on your out-breath, releasing. So one way to further our relaxation is to bring awareness to different parts of the body. And during this time, you might feel warmth or sometimes coolness or tingling in a specific area. We'll start by bringing our focus to our toes and moving our attention to the balls and heels of the feet, the area that carries so much weight during our day. And moving to the top of the feet and ankles into your calves and knees and your thighs, and taking a moment to actually feel your legs loose and limp. And letting awareness move to your hips and your buttocks and your lower back, and staying for a moment and softening the muscles there, sending warmth to that area and letting go even more with an out-breath. And letting the muscles of the abdomen or belly soften. And noticing how the ribs move with each in-breath and out-breath. The upper body is fully relaxed and calm, and bringing awareness to your hands and noticing how they feel when they're completely still. And to your wrists and your forearms and upper arms. Perhaps noticing that your arms might feel heavier, but in a comfortable way as they fully release and let go. And taking a moment to soften the shoulders and fully releasing any tension with your out-breath that might be stored here. Noticing tension just rolling off the tips of your shoulders and moving relaxation to your neck and your jaw. Noticing the hinges of your jaw letting go and bringing awareness to your mouth and your cheeks and your eyes and all the little muscles around your eyes to relax too. Now imagine the space between your eyes and that this small area can soften. Your forehead is smooth. Just letting go of all your facial muscles as you breathe out. Feeling your face, the place where many of our emotions are shown, completely still. Now imagine a wave of relaxation and healing energy moving through your body. From your head, down your neck and arms and abdomen, down your legs and to your toes. Everything that needs to be released has left through your fingers and your toes. Take a moment and imagine another wave from your head to your toes, softening and relaxing your body even more. Everything that needs to be released has been released from your body. Your body is at peace and deeply quiet. Experience gratitude and appreciation for your body at this very moment. So as we come to the end of this meditation, start to notice some of the sounds in the room. Notice the feeling of your body being supported by the chair. And begin to awaken by moving your fingers and toes. And when you're ready, slowly open up your eyes and perhaps sit for a moment and enjoy the silence. Sensing your clarity as the mind and body have returned to their natural balance. And perhaps committing to sharing this sense of balance and peace with others you have contact with this evening.
Thank you, Raina. Yeah. God. Yeah. Yeah. That was great. Something about your voice that is very hypnotic.
I'm glad. It's relaxing for me to guide. I go into, I can't say a full meditation, but I am extremely relaxed, knowing and hoping.
You're relaxing yourself, but do you have CDs or things that people can order for you? Because I think it's excellent that, you know, I could listen to this every day. Where can people find and buy something from you?
Well, I am in the process of making one of my own, and I'm happy to give you that information once it's completed.
Okay.
It'll be kind of a series, because for some people, you know, sitting still or, lying down isn't for them. Some people want to do some more movement, like progressive muscle relaxation, or some of us are powerful in the senses of imagery. So there's tons of different ways to
relax. People can contact me if they want to.
Yeah, and what I'll do is I'll give you all that. Yeah, that's fine.
So I've been just talking to Raina Chudnovsky.
Chudnovsky.
Raina Chudnovsky. Raina, thank you so much for being a guest of New Realities.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And we'll definitely do more. I'll call you after the show. I want to talk to you. But that was really excellent, and I could hardly speak now myself after being so relaxed.
Good night, everybody.
I've been talking to Raina Chudnovsky and her relaxation meditation. And this is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. And next week I'm going to have also some very exciting guests talking about the upcoming UFO conference that's happening in New York, and also an astrologer that will talk about the current, psychic forecast that we're coming into. So you can listen to me every Monday at this time, 6:30 to 7:30 Pacific Coast time, or 9:30 to 10:30 East Coast time. I'm going to leave off with this song called The Night Before the Future, which sums up a lot of what this show is about. If you want to reach me, I am at newrealities@earthlink.net, and I'm exploring all the possibilities of which consciousness is seeking to expand. So any suggestions or comments, please email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. You can even try calling 212-473-6388. And I leave you with this song, The Night Before the Future.